Welcome to I'm running out of breath. Come on.
I don't know why I picked that note. I really don't feel good about that note, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, you took forever. I was already out.
I just wasn't giving it 110%.
I was giving it like 220%.
I was giving it like
I felt it.
I was giving it like 103.7. No, this is not a radio. This is a podcast. They
no,
are
guys,
different.
I really don't believe in the number grading system. We should stick with letters.
I was giving it everyone, a B.
Yeah, I was giving it an A double plus. Kung Pao levels of effort
giving,
going
I was
in
giving
over
it an
here.
S. I was giving it an S.
For
in video games,
Super
that's
Steven.
Like the best.
Welcome to From Under a Rock. I'm Ryan.
I'm James.
I'm Michael.
I'm Super Steven.
And
that's not true.
We closed out our fourth cycle last
fourth
week.
Fourth billing cycle.
our fourth quarter. Only the
Q4.
Only the third. The fiscal quarter, though.
Yeah, yeah.
To be fair,
I still need to fill out my W4s.
Love it.
Points? Do we do points this week?
My 1040s.
My 401k.
Speaking of 40s, James been drinking a lot.
Yeah, we just.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just before we started recording,
just before it,
James was drunkenly lifting the couch up.
Literally.
Swearing to us all that his phone was.
He's looking for Bumblebee.
Not only was I swearing that my phone was there, I was also just swearing in general at you.
Yes.
So you guys are in for a fun evening. I am so hammered right now.
But anyway, as such, we decided to throw it to you, the listeners.
Catch.
We really...
You're not a listener. You're a contributor.
Really hope you guys didn't drop the ball on this one because, you know, we've been doing a pretty kick-ass job up until now.
Yes,
and I was very resident. James, help me out here.
Reticent is right.
There we go.
Speaking of
balls, I was very resident to throw it to the audience.
Yeah. Catch.
Pick one. you guys picked it up and you ran with it. And even though it was called a dropped pass, James, help me out here. What's the term for a dropped pass?
Fumble. A fumble.
No,
I was going to go with fumble.
Incomplete. Even though it was ruled an incomplete, you guys picked up the ball and you ran with it.
That's not within regulation rules of the
game.
Putting
in 220%.
When everybody else stopped playing, you kept going.
Putting in A double plus on the effort.
When they were like, the play's over, you just kept running with it. When they said, you're past the end zone, you just ran right into the locker room. When you ran out of the locker room, you started running through the parking lot. And when you ran through the parking lot, you started running down the highway. And when you started running down the highway, you started running down your cul-de-sac. And when you started running down your cul-de-sac, you got into your house. And when you started running through your house, you went up to the bathroom and you took a shower. And you realized, what the hell is wrong with me?
Okay. I don't know what just happened there.
I reiterate, what the hell is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Steven, how have you been?
I've been good. I went to a concert yesterday from one of my favorite bands, Eyeshine, that I am their videographer. And they had a couple opening bands. And I sort of mentioned this to you guys right before the movie, but I experienced my first mosh pit last night.
Do tell.
Okay, so what that was...
Reds were involved.
Okay, were you in the midst of it?
Briefly.
Okay.
So we're all just chilling in this club, and that's so weird coming out of my mouth. We're chilling and we're listening to this band. The acoustics weren't that good, so I couldn't actually understand what they were saying. The mixing wasn't good. But this one song starts going, and I realize I look to my left, these two guys with like really long hair, one in dreads and one with just really long hair, just kind of start jamming out a lot. Like really headbanging,
two man mosh pit.
They like grab each other and they're just like shaking each other. And this is like the intro to the song, you know, like the and then it, you know, they just push each other like right into me.
Allow Ryan and Michael to set the stage for you.
They push each other, hit me, and I go flying back into the wall.
Power Rangers.
And I was like, it's Morphin time! Tyrannosaurus! And I killed them.
All right.
No, so they pushed each other, and they just, like, one of them hit me, and I went flying against the wall. And then they're
like
moshing.
You did just, you know.
Had you ever been in a mosh pit before?
For, like, 5 seconds. So for, like, 5 seconds, they, like, pushed me back. I go in the wall, I kind of recover, and I'm like, okay, maybe they just got really in it. But then they kept getting in it and pushing each other. And this room was, like, crowded. Mm. And then, like, immediately, like, a circle formed around them, and everyone was, like, staying completely away from them.
From
and
just the two guys.
Just the two guys. For the rest of the song, they were the only two guys. They literally, like, locked hands and spun each other, like,
I was gonna say,
top speed.
That's adorable.
And I was going to ask, isn't that just called a fight until you said that?
They were just spinning each other for the entire
oh,
song.
Oh, my God, that's friendship.
And then, like, one of them, like, they got tired, and one of them let go, and the guy who the other guy, like, flew off because he was spinning, and he, like, fell on the ground, and he got up, and he was, like, he kept falling over. And then we're like, okay, I think we can get back into the concert. So everybody, like, goes back in, and then, like, three songs later, another intense song comes around,
and
we look over.
They're slow dancing.
They're slow dancing.
Cheek to cheek, under the moonlight. Slow dancing,
just
holding,
like,
each other
just
so,
like,
passionately.
Crying.
Like Ryan,
like,
and Andrew
deep,
Garfield
deep
levels
crying.
Of passion.
One of them was upside down, yes. No, like, the entire room, like, all looked at each other, and we all just, like, cleared out. And we're like, this is round two.
That's funny.
I discovered that a mosh pit is something I
it's
don't
like
want.
Taking metalheads to an indie yeah. gig, you know?
Yeah, so the most violent concert I've been to, this surprised me, I don't know if it surprised you guys, but Silver Sun Pickups.
Really?
I can see it. Surprisingly violent concert.
Really?
Yes. I especially since I went with three rather small girls, and I felt like I was just holding back the wall of douchebaggery that was pressing in behind me.
And you are by no means a wall of a man.
No.
Oh, God,
no. You are comparable to the levees of New Orleans in terms of being a wall,
yeah.
able to hold things back.
I'm very low below sea level at all times.
Yes.
That seems like there's a joke in there. Ah, you're so short, you're
below
sea
level
in Denver. There it is. I found it.
Horrible joke.
No, I really dug it. I think you should yeah. use that.
I almost got in a fight at that concert, though. I was actually...
Oh, wow.
I was really pumped to actually get in a fight. It's something I've always wanted to try.
I really want to get in a bar fight on St. Paddy's Day.
I think you told us this, yeah. That
I'm,
would be...
I'm, this St. Paddy's Day, it's going to happen. Me and my roommate are training up.
I'll go with you.
Yeah?
I'll be involved in it.
Dude, I'm going to take you with me. You got the wrestling moves.
You're
going
to be the guy who starts the fight.
No. Michael's going to be the guy where when James ducks, Michael gets punched behind him. You know?
No.
I thought it'd be the other way around.
James is going to be the guy who's throwing punches, and I'm like, no, bro, you're doing it all wrong. And I'm just going around trying to get sleeper holds on people, and they're like, why are you hugging me? This is weird.
Yeah, that's actually exactly how it would play out.
Yeah, that's not just St. Paddy's.
If you
want to
get
though,
into a bar fight
weekend.
And be on Team James this St. Paddy's Day, I don't know where I'm going.
Can
yet?
We call it Tomb Jooms?
Tomb Jooms? If you want to be on Tomb Jooms for St. Paddy's Day this year, come join me.
Can we make a hashtag for every episode to talk about from now on? And this episode
hashtag
is hashtag Tomb Jooms. I think so.
Why not?
Marketing genius.
Okay with it.
I love it. Forget Four Rock. It's
no,
Tomb Jooms.
It'll be hashtag Four Rock halftime.
No. Forget it.
Forget right. what?
Right, forget, yeah, it's about, what are we talking about?
We're forgetting.
What are you doing with, why'd you put that word in there?
Tomb Jooms!
I almost choked on a burrito today. I did choke on a burrito today.
Oh, so you... Okay.
To death?
It wasn't even
like
almost.
Like almost to death?
Well, what happened was I went to lunch at Chipotle, which is usually a wonderful experience. I don't have any gas or distress, despite what some people might say.
South Park.
I do enjoy some Chipotle every now and again, and... I think that, you know how they do the aluminum wrap around the burrito? They did sort of a shoddy job today. And
and you ended up with aluminum in the burrito?
What was stuck in my throat was either a surprisingly strong piece of lettuce or aluminum. If it was lettuce, you know, whatever. But if it was aluminum, man, that is going to be fun to pass.
that's exactly what I was saying. I was like,
but,
that's got to
so,
come out.
Okay, so I'm something. Eating this burrito, and I take this bite, and I'm just like, swallow. That's not going down.
Pause. Were you drunk at this time as well?
I was drunk all day.
Okay.
Well, this is, come on, guys.
This was what, 11 a.m., 12 noon?
So very.
It was about 1 p.m., so it was past noon. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I was drunk off my ass. But yeah, I...
Tomb Jooms.
Tomb Jooms. I started like coughing, and like I noticed that this piece of whatever it was like wasn't leaving my throat, and I like got up, grabbed my phone, grabbed the water that was on the table, and just like ran to the bathroom and almost vomited, but didn't. I just swallowed. Wow. And it was awful. Like, my eyes were watering for, like, at least 30 seconds. It was pretty bad. So, Chipotle, you've got a lawsuit on your hands. Better lawyer up.
I think their lawyers could overpower any schmuck you would hire.
Hey, when that aluminum comes out the back of me, I'm just going to submit Exhibit A.
But they don't have proof that you didn't just poke your poop with aluminum after the fact.
He would produce it in the court.
I'm not going to take the poop with me. I'm going to take the aluminum with me.
No, you have to produce it in the courts. So there's without a single doubt.
Well, it'll be dissolved because of my stomach acid.
Can you just not take a dump until your court date? I would get on it now.
Evidence A, and then like everybody's just waiting, and I'm just like,
but he
doesn't even take his pants off. He just like in the seat, just
in the nicest pants I own.
However, you already died 2 months prior due to sepsis from holding your poop for way too long.
Did you guys hear about that? When the Wii first came out, they had that
radio contest.
Yeah, the radio contest to see hold your Wii for a Wii. And
what?
You didn't hear about
no.
this?
No.
So you have
I
to,
would have done it.
You have
if
to
I had.
You have to drink some massive amount of water and then not go to the restroom for a certain amount of time.
Win. Okay. I've got such a small bladder, like I would never
I
win
thought
that.
Thought you were gonna say okay. penis.
Well, but I'm telling you, you don't want to do it because the woman who won died.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
She straight up died from holding in her pee for
yeah,
so long.
But yeah. did she get a wee?
She did.
How long did she get to enjoy it before she died?
I don't know. She probably didn't.
I wonder if that's
I'm just
like,
gonna say you're kind of looking at things on the negative side. I'm looking at
yeah,
things.
Yeah, glass half full.
Glass half
of
full.
Wii.
She got her Wii.
Yeah, look how valuable that Wii is now.
Yeah. You
know? I wonder if you could resell that for like a lot. Like the woman who died's Wii.
It's probably haunted.
Yeah, depressing.
You put it in and you're like, wait, the motion. I'm not moving the motion sensor, but it kind of moved a little bit. It's like a Ouija board.
Oh snap!
High
guys,
fives all
guys,
around.
Guys. What did we watch this week?
Okay, as I was saying before, you guys really picked up the ball quite adroitly. And brought in a lot of great suggestions for us, and Steven has a list of those.
Boom. He's going to read every single one of them.
Boom.
Yes, that was implied. City of God, Luke Doyle, Legend of Action Man, Andy Young, Blazing Saddles, Andy Young, Thor 2, Smiles,
Pokemon. You don't have
Pokemon.
To say it in rhythm. I'm just giving you a beat.
Oh, I thought I did. Pokemon, no. Pokemon Origins from Smiles, Lord of the Rings from Kate Baldwin, Deadwood by Leah Cuoio, Interstellar 5555 by Matt McCloud, Flash Gordon, not sure which one, the TV show or the movie, by Dan Carrion, Starship Troopers by Zai Johnson, Zai on YouTube, Shawshank Redemption by Emily Pugh. Tune in next week for that, actually. Kamen Rider, The Gaia Memories of Fate by Colonel Pepper, Children of Men by Michael Slater, and Ghostbusters by Colonel Pepper. I believe that's 16 submissions, guys.
I believe we will watch Ghostbusters at some point. I still haven't seen that movie.
I think we might watch Shawshank Redemption, maybe next week.
I'm getting a vision.
Yeah, what did she not listen to last week's episode before it was pre-recorded?
What? Stupid idiot.
Yeah.
But seriously, thank
Emily,
you for
thank you for
submission.
Your suggestion. Thank you everyone for your
thank
suggestions.
Thank you very much.
Hold on. Thank you everyone except for Luke Doyle. What an idiot.
What a
City of God. That's
dummy.
A terrible movie. That's a terrible movie.
Luke,
I
miss
it.
You. I miss you so much.
Kill yourself.
But that was an awful choice. I'm just kidding.
Horrible,
I've never seen the movie.
Horrible movie.
But yes, we came to the conclusion that we should watch Children of
Star
Men.
Children of Men.
Was there kind of a reason for that, or it just seemed like
I think no one had seen it. None of us had seen it.
No, they'd seen it.
That's not true at all. What do you?
Ryan and I were like right before we started. You were in the room. We were like, God, I love this movie.
I was like, yeah, you guys.
I love how confidently Steven said that too.
I kind of did.
Now, Michael Slater brought up an interesting point.
I just think it kind of felt like fate that when Steven read that suggestion, we were all like, yes, that is the one.
Yeah.
You know?
We really did.
No,
that is how
it
went too.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we all.
No, but Michael Slater brought up a good point. We were talking about his submission of this movie, and he said, it's such a stupid movie. Like, how can the children be of men? Men can't have children. Women are the ones that have children.
F.
I think we can wrap this up early, guys.
F's all around.
See you next week, guys.
Next week.
Thank you for tuning in.
I think, yeah.
What?
There was actually only one child in the movie, and it came from a woman. So
it's wrong. Wait, on what? Two accounts. It's child of woman. It's just what it should be, is what you're saying.
Child,
right?
Of child woman.
Child of woman.
Yes. F's all around.
Double
you guys
F's
agree?
All around,
double
guys. F's all around. Thanks so much for your suggestions.
Thank you for listening to another episode of
From
wait,
Under.
Wait, what? No, I got nothing. Let's end this thing.
Thank you for listening to another installment.
Hold on.
Oh, my God.
There's got to be something else we can talk about with this movie. Ryan, I know that you had seen it before.
I can talk so much about this movie. It is...
but we won't. So...
and we're muting Michael for the fourth week in a row.
Hey, that's really funny, Michael.
So this, for many years, was absolutely... my favorite movie
that you had never seen before we watched it tonight.
Yeah,
as Stephen pointed out, but it was still your favorite movie.
Ryan was utterly confused for a second. They're just like, yes.
No, I was trying to back up his story. But no, I watched this back. This movie came out in 2006, so I probably saw it the year after, 2007, probably about sophomore year in high school, something like that. And was just absolutely blown away. It's mostly by, well, not only is the story a truly interesting concept, the basically it is about a post-apocalyptic future in which all women have become sterile and
infertile
is the term. Isn't it like the same thing?
No.
Or men are sterile and women
sterile
are infertile.
Sterile is clean.
Infertility.
No.
Like, no one was everybody. Clean in that movie.
Yeah.
It was like, there was all the super immigrants were sterile. Like in
dude,
raggedy clothes.
Like,
and
future women are so loose.
Yes.
It's crazy.
They've had so much syphilis that they can't even have
kids. Our main girl, Key, was like, I don't even know who the dad is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? I've had like 18 guys. And it's like, how old are you?
And then Julianne Moore was like, of all the hundreds I've had since you. The
okay, so basically it's a swingers fantasy, this movie.
And an accurate portrayal of future women.
Oh, absolutely.
So probably the most amazing thing to me about this movie is its portrayal of the future. Everything from the core conceit of the story and the incredible artistic direction and set decoration and
cinematography
yeah, of course, one. Is simply fantastic. Some of the best I've ever seen.
Also, one of the few, from what I've heard, I have not read the book, but one of the few movies to surpass the source material.
See, I actually did go back and read the book after I saw the movie because I loved it so much, and it just didn't make sense to me how this movie was brought about by this book.
Is there way more to the movie than in the book?
I wouldn't say way more. It's certainly very different. For one, the Julianne Moore character is the one who's pregnant in the book.
And the book is called Child of Woman.
Yes. they really messed it up.
Would you say it's safe to say that if you had just read the book, you would have been like, no, it's impossible for this to have offspring? You should have kept it muted, Ryan.
I get the pun, but I also don't.
I mean, I was going to say something similar and less stupid on this podcast, actually. But,
that's usually the punch I always beat people to.
Yeah. No, but the for as kind of bad as the book is, it still does have that same really interesting jumping off point of the first fertile woman in an infertile world in this post-apocalyptic future.
I wouldn't even say post-apocalyptic.
No,
really.
I absolutely think so.
Well, I guess it is alluded to that like pretty much every nation has fallen up until this.
It shows two frames of New York being nuked. You know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. If it's like you blink, you miss it. It's really. Yep. I wouldn't have remembered it if you didn't say it, but yeah, that's in there.
It's definitely a dystopian sort of future, but yeah, post-apocalyptic, I guess, is the proper term.
No, well, dystopian works too. I think they're very similar. But as I was saying, the way this movie portrays that future is so, so interesting. Just the amount of detail that they have. Everything from, you know, the chaos in the outside world. It takes place all inside London, which is kind of the last bastion of
civility,
hope and freedom and civility, even though it's actually really
chaotic.
Yeah, chaotic and government oppressed and everything like that.
And they don't like Fugees. Not Mount Fuji, refugees.
Refugees.
They also might not... oh, that's where they get it from.
That reminds me of... there's an American Dad episode called... I think it's Camp Refugi. and he just like he sends Steve to an African refugee camp and goes and turns it into a summer camp. But these kids are all like starving and have no idea like what these things they're celebrating are. Oh
my gosh, that's terrible.
That's really funny.
It's a great episode.
I have to look that up.
But yeah, stuff like Michael Caine's character says, "Oh, you won't mind if I play some of my future music." He doesn't say that. I don't remember what the line is.
In the book, he says,
and he turns
music
on this like grindy, like screaming rock.
What I imagine,
like post-metal
if dubstep
stuff, you know?
And screamo had a bastard child. That's what this music.
Why?
Was
and it's totally. Why like, does wedlock matter?
Because screamo would obviously leave dubstep like to their own devices, mm-hmm. her own devices.
That's probably true.
Like screamo don't give a shit. Screamo's what? Like, I ain't paying no
and that's
child,
why I don't respect
child
screamo.
Support bills, fuck that.
Yeah. That's why I think even though I wouldn't call this a perfect screenplay, I think just the amount of details that they have in setting up the world is unparalleled.
I read an early draft of the script,
yeah,
and it was really good, but I think that the changes that they did make, which were semi-frequent, helped in the long run. Because, like, I was even watching it now, it's been a while for me, even watching it now, I was like, is this part from the script going to be showing up in this? And when it didn't, I was kind of glad because some of the script kind of lagged. But okay. I think it was still a really very strong script, despite the fact. And I think that the movie benefited from the trimming of the fat, as it were.
You know, it's actually, you know, obviously Gravity just came out this year,
yes,
which is a
another
fantastic
Alfonso
movie.
Cuaron.
Same director, he wrote it as well, I think.
That's the, like, at first and, when I saw the trailer for Gravity, I was not thrilled. But then learning that it was Alfonso Cuaron, I think you actually told me that, Ryan. Mm-hmm. That's what made me excited. This movie is what made me excited about Gravity.
So the thing that I loved most about this movie are the single shot sequences.
Yes, absolutely. Which has become sort of like a signature almost of movies. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, like I think Gravity, the first shot
is 17 minutes long.
Is that what it is?
I believe so.
Okay,
see, it might be a little bit less.
To me, that's less impressive though,
computers,
simply because
yeah,
they hide a lot
so
of cuts.
True, true. But like when you look at the behind the scenes thing, just like the crane motions that they
no,
have
I think,
to make.
Yeah, the filming of it is still quite impressive, but compared to a 5-minute uncut. Hyper intense action scene.
Well, I think
with
what they do
100 extras.
What I think they do is I think they in this movie it they give you the illusion that it's all one take because some of the camera angles are impossible without re-rigging things. I think they cheated a little bit, but that doesn't make it any less impressive.
By the way, it wasn't a 5-minute action sequence. It was 454 seconds, so it was 7.5 minutes.
I'm sorry.
No, I think that extra 2.5 minutes is
that's a lot.
No, is,
that's 150% of what
no,
you said.
No, it is.
I was blown away by the way
it is truly, truly impressive. And it was kind of like the first time I saw it, I didn't even realize it until sort of halfway through. I was just like,
this is all one.
Holy crap, this is
well, the
still
first
going.
Time I watched it, like I wasn't like even a film student at that point. And like I thought it was great, but it wasn't until like I had started taking classes and really started realizing how films are put together that I was floored by just the dynamics of it alone, the logistics of it alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was that? And you mentioned film school. There's like an old 40s movie that also that at one point had like the longest opening shot. It was like 5 minutes. It was like something of Touch of Evil. That was it.
You know what I really want to watch? I haven't.
That's actually a really.
I haven't seen it. I'm not even really sure what the name is. Maybe you guys can help me out on it.
Jackal.
It's a jackal. Jackal. No, it's a Russian film that the entire thing is
Solaris.
One shot. That's it.
No. Oh no, I did hear about that.
Is it modern or is it a classic or how old
no,
is
it? No, it's fairly old. Fairly, I think.
We'll look it up.
I'm not sure. Guys, email us, tweet at us.
Oh no, no, no.
That was it. No.
No, it was it was when I was in high school, I think, so it wasn't that old, right?
No, it's fairly contemporary.
Yeah.
Is this No, that's not the one. We like movies with long shots.
Tweet at us, email us. If you know this Russian film where the entire thing is one single shot.
I haven't actually seen Rope either. I've been wanting to see that one. That's the Hitchcock one that's famous for being one shot, even though it's actually
quote unquote. Yeah. It's hidden cuts and stuff. Yeah. Anyways, back to Children of Man.
But yeah, Gravity was, of course, one of the best movies of this year so far.
I bet Slater knows.
But I still think Gravity and Children of Men share some similar flaws, especially in terms of writing. I think, did Cuarón write Children of Men, the adaptation?
He was one of the five writers.
Oh, okay. So I don't know if this is specifically him or not, but, you know, since he is involved in both movies, it's easy to make the parallel there. A lot of sort of on-the-nose exhibition in both movies.
Exposition?
Yeah, exposition.
Exhibition. Man, there's a lot of showmanship here.
Well, that's,
get it,
that
you're
too.
In space.
Thank you, James.
No,
wait.
No, I gave you that one.
But Steven gave me that one. Thank you anyway,
you're just
James.
So used to thanking me. I was going to let you roll with it, but...
I also don't think this is Julianne Moore's strongest performance. I know she's only in it for a couple of scenes, but it's far from her best that I've seen.
Having not seen it before, I was shocked that they killed her off so early.
Yeah, no, me too.
But in a very, like, this is a weird comparison to the murdering of Ben Affleck in Smoke and Aces.
Hey, spoiler alert. Actually, I haven't seen the movie, but I don't care.
Nah. Just the idea that you get, like, a big-name actor and then kill them off.
I
always
find
that interesting. A more recent example, Side Effects. Did you guys see that?
No.
I won't.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because it wasn't until, I guess, this viewing that I really started to notice that. I guess her character is supposed to be a little stoic and hardened, but at the same time, I felt her delivery of certain lines was flat.
But even there's a scene, like in the car, where she's being funny and playful, and...
she wasn't.
It comes across very forced.
Yeah.
You know, like they hadn't seen each other in 20 years. I don't know if they deserve to be this playful with each other right now. And especially since they left things on such dark terms. You know,
and
the
scenes preceding it were pretty tense between them too.
Yeah.
You know, she kind of kidnaps him.
Yeah.
And now she's just kind of joking around with him. She doesn't kind of, she kidnaps him. She like, she hires these guys to like, these terrorists to like force him into a van.
Not even like a, hey, we should get coffee sometime. I would like to say this is one of my favorite movies. I'm a big sci-fi guy, and this isn't really high sci-fi, but it is sort of in that tier. And wow, I totally just lost my train of thought.
Oh, you looked, James, you looked right at me, and I was like, did my looks make you forget what you were thinking?
No, I've got this.
He's like looked up at me.
No,
wow.
Okay,
you're
I do
such
have
a
this,
drunk
I do have
tonight.
I do have this.
Oh my god, you're such a drunk.
No, I am. I'm so fucking hammered. it is one of my favorite movies, but I would say that the characterization is probably the weakest point of this film. I mean, I do care about Key and I do care about Theo, but I feel like the other characters, the secondary, tertiary characters.
I care about Jasper as well, though. Michael Caine
is
a powerhouse.
That. Yeah, that's
in
true.
Anything he is.
So. See, here's the thing. I didn't necessarily care about key because of how she was written. I only cared about her because she was pregnant.
Yeah, I guess that's she's true. Really she, you only care about her because she carries the precious card.
Yeah, she's basically like the Holy Grail in the movie.
And Jasper may be one of the coolest, for lack of a better term, character in the film. But I feel like that's really where it struggles. It's just kind of like, you're sort of enthralled by the events and the setting,
concept,
and the concept, but it takes, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but yeah, the characterization is what bothered me the most.
I didn't even realize Charlie Hunnam was in the movie. Like,
who was he?
He was the dude with the dreads.
Really? That was
That was Charlie. Like,
wait, remind me who this is?
He was in Charlie Pacific Hunter. Rim and Sons Star of Anarchy.
Oh,
yeah. So yeah, he that was him. And I guess he was kind of still fairly unknown at that point in 2006. I mean, he was in the Judd Apatow Undeclared. He was one of the main characters in that show. So I mean, like, he had been on something before, but like, I got through the I saw that he was in the cast on Wikipedia, and then I went the entire movie and then finally got like a look at his face for like a second. I was like, here's this character that's showing up a lot in this movie, and I haven't even really seen his face enough to recognize
They don't really give him a close up though. He's always kind of seen off in the distance.
Except the only time is kind of when he's up next to the car with the gun asking for a shot. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the best chance you get to see him. Yeah,
and that's a lot of motion is happening.
That actually wasn't exclusive to that character. I actually noticed, especially during the long cut at the end, we rarely get close-ups of Clive Owen's face for all the action that's going. It's probably for the best because, there's so much spectacle going on around him, but it's not until he goes inside the building and gets in the stairwell that we actually get a good look at his face. And it seems like a little bit of a missed opportunity that we are missing out on his acting at that point, because I think Clive Owen is still very strong throughout the whole movie.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I enjoyed each shot because almost every single one was weighted in some way. So you're kind of like always looking one side of the screen to the other, despite, what action is going on screen. And I feel like that sort of adds to how frenetic the film is in general. Just everything about it seems chaotic, and despite the fact that you might miss out on a little bit of the performance, I think that he still did a great job.
We mentioned Jasper earlier, and I think he is at the center of two of the film's most emotional moments. Mm-hmm. The first being whenever he mercy kills his wife, basically, with the quietus, or what is it called?
Yes,
quietus. Well, in the original screenplay, quietus was a program like people could just go to, and like hundreds of people could just go to one session and just be euthanized.
Soylent Green.
So, God, I hope not. That'd be disgusting. But
it's basically what it is, though.
Right? That's the fate of his wife in the original. I'm not sure if it's the same in the book.
I don't remember.
But this time around, it is sort of like a mercy killing. Yeah. And she, you see her early on, and it's clear that she's completely out of it. And in fact, you see a news clipping of her being tortured for information because she's a photojournalist.
Yeah. Right. And what makes that moment work emotionally so well is that it holds on a shot, a two shot of Jasper and his wife for a kind of long time. Shot.
Yeah.
Long in terms of length of time, not length of lens.
It is kind of pulled back as well.
Yeah, that too. It's the length of time that makes it work, because it almost gets to like that awkward moment, but it doesn't feel awkward because even though Jasper is just kind of sitting there with his wife, there's a lot of emotion coming out of him. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of you kind of see him realizing like, okay, I have to do this. Like, this is it for me. Like, there's a lot of this movie going, a lot of times in this movie, the characters will say, okay, this is kind of for the good of humanity, 'cause this is the only pregnant woman We just, she has, whatever happens, she has to live. She has to go.
And then moments later, when the guys finally start to like raid his house, I'm not sure if it's Dredds or one of his henchmen.
No,
he comes out and he's like, yeah, there's a dead dog and a woman in there. And so you don't really get the visual, you know, connection, mm-hmm. but like once you hear that, you're like, oh, that's what he did.
The other super emotional moment is shortly afterwards, whenever Theo is being hit with the realization of Jasper's death, mm-hmm. and Clive Owen just kind of crawls off by himself and weeps openly and bitterly, and it's pretty heart wrenching. I think that was a tough one for me.
It's especially that particular moment. One, when he weeps over Julianne Moore's death, and two, when he weeps over Michael Caine's death.
Oh, wait, maybe that's the one I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Julianne Moore is where he cries openly.
But
away
he's more angry about Jasper's death. And the thing that I find that really resonates with that, those actions, is that. Hold on, I'm trying to phrase it properly. He's such a hardened sort of person. Like, he has given up on this world a long time ago. Everybody else is crying over baby Diego's death at the very beginning of the movie, and he's just kind of going about his daily routine where he spikes his coffee and goes to work hungover.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it's not alluded to until later, but he had a son named Dylan that died early on during the flu pandemic that happened like 10 years prior to the film. He lost his wife and hadn't seen her for 20 years until this movie's timeline. And so I think that sort of isolationism that he took on was a sort of way to defend himself from the harshness of life. And then when things really did take a turn for the worse, when the infertility hit, I wouldn't say he was prepared for it, but I would say that he was distanced. And I think that's why when baby Diego gets killed at the very, very beginning of the film, and everybody else is weeping, he is still sort of, you know, going about his daily routine. And I feel like he's emotionally distanced. And that's what makes those scenes so much stronger, is that the fact that, you know, he can find, you know, he can find pain through other people's through loss of his own. He just has a tough time letting people in.
The one other scene that really stuck out to me is the penultimate scene when they are coming back out of the building through all the fighting, and as they walk past, everyone drops their weapons and just
like
watches
a ceasefire,
in awe.
Yeah.
Due to the baby's crying.
Yeah. But then as soon as they leave, the shots resume, and it's just kind of...
You know that baby's going to grow up deaf, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, taking a baby through a battlefield is like not even just one battlefield.
Okay. Thanks for reminding me. The sound design in this movie is
so good as well.
Those several moments whenever you hear Clive Owen's eardrums dying, as Julianne describes at the beginning of the movie. Yeah.
You hear a faint hiss or whine after every major character is killed in this movie, which I find very...
Oh, is that every character?
Almost every character, yeah.
I noticed that for the first couple. I guess
Jasper,
I got used to it.
You can hear it for a little bit.
Julianne,
you can hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
And at the very beginning. But that kind of sets it up, you know?
Yeah. That's cool. I didn't notice they kept it going for that long throughout the movie.
It is usually whenever a loud sound goes off next to Clive's head.
It's like that whole shell shock thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize that. One thing I wanted to talk about, because of a lot of like the single shots and really like kind of staying distanced, not giving many close-ups, is you see a lot of like the really brutal and violent things happen, and it doesn't cut, it doesn't relent. It's just like
this is
just
it,
happening.
You know?
Like, yeah, this is the thing how it's happened. Like, we're not glorifying it.
If you didn't know any better, like, and if you cropped it a little bit, you might say that this was footage from, you know, a war today.
Yeah,
and that's what I think is really impressive about this film, is that it sort of captures that brutality of war. And you know, despite the fact that it's 14 years in the future today, the fact that it looks like a war that could be fought, you know, yeah, on any place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I like the way they portrayed brutality a lot. It just felt
not even just like through the action, but like the fact that, and I mean, this is obviously, you know, it's very dystopic, but the brutality of just human to human activity, it can be seen, mm-hmm, in this movie too. It's not even just like groups of humans versus groups of humans fighting and then this is what happens. It can be a one-on-one confrontation, like what you've got with Sid.
That
and
was
Theo.
His name, Sid. Yeah,
yeah. It's not afraid to look violence in the face, or rather to show the audience violence at its core. And especially with the lack of cuts, yeah, I think that really, it really shows. Help me out here.
Cojones.
This movie has cojones.
It does.
Although there was one thing that bothered me in terms of, I think it's just a directorial choice,
right,
but when they had blood spatter on the lens of the camera, that really took me out of it.
Really?
Because it was
definitely intentional, but yeah, I can see how it's distracting.
Because it treats the camera as like, oh, all of a sudden,
a wall.
Now it's on. Yeah, now it's on our view of it. Is it
I
supposed to be
it.
Like, there's a camera guy following
I him? Liked it because, yeah, it was visceral, but this is another point I was talking about with a cheat moment, where once he gets inside the building, you notice that the blood is still spattered on the lens. When it looks up the stairwell, the blood is gone.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah,
whenever you make those quick pans, like, that's a
your
cheat
chance
point.
To cut. Now,
I'm not saying that they took every opportunity
I was
to do
thinking
that, but,
that,
yeah.
I was thinking it could have even been digital blood, which is why I thought it was intentional.
Was.
Yeah.
Probably after, like, the first bit, yeah. You know, it probably was digital from the very beginning, but I still feel like it kind of like it sprung up and it was it's unexpected, because at that point you hadn't seen anything kind of fog the lens. Yeah. I liked it, but I agree that it could be distracting at points.
While we're talking
and it
about,
wasn't there for long.
While we're talking about visuals, I want to bring up one of my favorite visual scenes is the school. There's an amazing shot that has some great micro composition in there. And it's just a great example of the amazing cinematography in this movie. It's superb.
It's also nice to note that the school is completely overrun with like vines and
who needs a school?
A deer, just yeah, random deer.
Oh, that deer.
It's like, what's the point of schools when nobody's living past, like, you know, everybody's older than 20 at this point.
Yeah.
It's another example of the incredible attention to detail in the world of the story. Yeah.
Yeah, and I heard Babies R Us took it pretty badly.
Pretty horrible.
Toys R Us followed shortly.
Their stock
after,
just
yeah,
plummeted.
Yeah. All right, you guys want to rate this sucker?
I'm ready. Yeah.
Who wants to start?
I'll start. Like I said, this is one of my favorite films of all time. I always enjoy a nice peer into a dystopic future. I enjoyed Clive Owen's performance, though his was probably the only performance I really did enjoy, despite, or rather,
and
Michael Caine's. Julianne Moore, I love her as an actor, but, you know, actress, excuse me.
They prefer actor
now.
No,
they prefer actor now, yeah.
Do they really?
You're yeah, right, yeah.
Oh, okay. Apologies. Apologies either way.
No apologies.
the cinematography is top notch. Everything about this film I love, except for some characterization flaws. I'm gonna have to give this a solid A.
I can go. While I do agree that it's not a perfect movie, there are just so many. There's so much emotion in it for me. I have so much invested in the world of the movie. It's just so incredibly built and detailed and beautiful and awful and gross. And I for all of its flaws, I still have to give it an A plus because it is absolutely one of my favorite movies of all time as well.
You don't want to show me up. You know, whatever.
It's all right. It's an amazing movie. It does have those flaws that you guys have mentioned with characterization and some script things. And one of the things that kind of irked me, since I'm touching on flaws, is I didn't like the ending because it didn't let me know what the political ramifications of this kid has. They mention, like,
it's the ending of Wall Street all over again. You have to have everything spelled out for you, Steve.
What happens? Did he go to jail? I saw him with the no. They mention it. It's like they talk about, like, okay, well, no, if it's a Fuji baby, they don't want it, or maybe they do. Both sides clearly want their baby to be on their side, and then I don't even know if the human project, what are they about? Are they a really good guy or bad guy? No one knows. Is this baby even mean, like, fertile women are coming back, or is this just a freak of nature that happened once and the rest of the world is doomed and the baby's going to be infertile too? I'm going to give it an A-. That would be that sounded like a rant. That's a small flaw, but my only flaw.
Very quick point. I agreed with you on the Wall Street thing. I disagree with you on this thing because it kind of treats the viewer as a member of that society where it's a lot of it's you just kind of have to pick up on. A lot of what the political factions do is shrouded in obscurity, and therefore I believe that the ending sort of fit more.
You know as much as the characters.
Exactly.
Interesting point.
I like this movie a lot. There were a couple things I didn't pick up on that were on me just not being as attentive as I could have been, I guess. It took me a while to understand motivations and, like, why certain people were chasing other people. And
that was the same way. I didn't piece it together until after the movie.
It's definitely worth the rewatch for all the nuance.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Of all the movies that have been, you know, other people's, like, not my own picks, this is the most inclined I've been to rewatch fairly soon after. Like, I'll probably rewatch this in the next month or two. Like, I really enjoyed it. So with that, I'm also going to give it a solid A. Tomb Jooms.
I think that's going to average to an A.
It does.
Brian wasn't right on his grade. He was off.
I was better. It was better than all of you. No, I'll accept an A for this.
That's fine. Yeah, that's I think that's just right.
That's a good movie.
All right, good stuff. And
so, considering that this is a viewer pick, we don't necessarily have a challenge for you this week.
But we don't have one, guys. Challenge. Guys, check the box. Challenge. We're out.
Challenge,
guys.
Challenge.
Ryan,
what?
Right, check the box. We're out of challenges.
We
don't have a challenge this week.
So we'll see you guys next
week on From
Under. James, wait. I think you're rushing this. I think we can use this time to bore people in other ways.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Games.
Are you down for a bore?
I am.
What can we do?
What sort of games, Michael?
I got Scrabble.
People
played Monopoly for three hours.
But here's the thing: we're gonna play Scrabble, but we're gonna be completely silent.
Yeah, we're gonna play the.
We're not gonna announce our moves. We're not gonna be cocky.
Now and then you'll hear.
No, good one. No. We'll play charades. You only hear the guesses of what it is.
It's a boat. It's a
jackal.
James is so drunk.
I'm so drunk.
It's insane.
I'm so.
So
drunk.
What's the game, Michael?
We're gonna play an improv game, called TV Guide, where we all will collectively form the title of a movie, and it'll end whenever someone says stop, and everything set up until that point will be the title. The next person will give us a synopsis of what that movie with that title would be about, and the person after that will cast two actors in that movie, and then the next two people in the rotation will play those two actors and act a short scene from that movie for you.
Please know nobody that is difficult or obscure to act out as.
Yeah, someone who's definitely
somebody is
a
like
type.
Iconic or unique.
Universally.
Yes, Steven. Pick someone we know about.
Not Jambanjavi.
Jambanjavi.
Actually, I would be fine if you picked that.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind.
Okay, I hope that lands on me. I saw a trailer for him in a horrible movie. It was hilarious.
Vampires.
Was it all of his movies?
It was like
except for Pay It Forward.
It was like this movie where he's trying to start like a women's lingerie hockey league.
That sounds awesome. What are you talking about?
It was by National Lampoon.
Oh my God.
I was like, how did they get him?
Guys, I think we should go see that and rate it for four.
You know, for the podcast.
For the podcast, totally. Yeah.
For science.
No, we have to do research for our lingerie sponsors, you know? We have to find new ways.
There's that one place that's sponsoring us on Gallagher and Figglesticks.
Yeah, I'm sorry Will couldn't make it for this podcast either. So
he would be a perfect consultant.
I miss him. But I don't. He deserved to go. Didn't you kill him? He deserved to go.
Didn't you kill him?
Plastic bag.
I didn't not kill him.
Just plead the fifth and move on.
Let's do this. Challenge.
Michael, why don't you kick us off?
First word of the title is.
Are you looking up?
Yes, I'm looking up words. I don't want to come up with my own contribution.
All right, I'm just and start.
Flight.
Far.
Hamburgers.
Stop. You guys are awful. There's nowhere I could have taken that.
We are awful.
Whoa, there's so many ways you could have taken that.
Flight? Wait, hold on. What was...
Flight Far Hamburger.
Where could I have taken that?
Well, I was thinking maybe it was like flight, colon, and I would be like the subtitle, far.
No, it could be. It could be. You know? Who knows how...
Okay, you Michael, also just say so colon. Tell us.
You guys want to know? Well, you were close. There is a colon, but it is actually Flight Far Hamburgers. This movie is about, it takes place in the year 2053, and it's about two buddies who open up the first ever drive-through window accessible to planes.
So it's like White Castle, but in the future and with planes?
And in the sky.
White Cloud Castle.
So, Flight Far Hamburgers.
Who's in it, Steven?
Well, obviously, we have a man who knows hamburgers better than anyone else, Mr. David Hasselhoff.
Which will be portrayed by Mr. Ryan Evans.
And who?
And to assist him in his new venture, hot off his venture with Women's Lingerie Hockey League, Mr. Jan Banjavi.
It did land on him. He told us ahead of time he was going to do it, guys.
And you know what? Ryan and James have both been to Bon Jovi concerts, so you guys have got some experience.
We can switch if you
want.
No, because I would rather play John Bon Jovi.
Would you really?
Yes, I would.
Oh.
Switcheroo. Yeah. Hope you heard that.
It was a high five.
Thank you, Steven. You're opposed to an isolated clap.
James just claps randomly.
James, you're so drunk.
Hope you guys heard that too.
God, I'm
so you are going so method for Hasselhoff.
All right, guys, let's do this.
Well, well, well. If it isn't my first customer, what can I fucking get you?
I need a hamburger for my...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Sorry, I need to pull my plane back around again.
Well, take your time. I heard hamburger. Get the patties going. Jesus.
All right. You guys ready? Wait. What do you guys want again? Oh, shoot. Okay, never mind.
Oh, my God. See, this is why...
Sorry, I got all the boys. I got the guitarist. What's his name?
Richie.
I got Richie in the back. He wants a shake or something.
He's back in the band.
He wants a shake. Get a shake going. Get a shake going.
Chocolate?
Vanilla shake. See, this is why they told me not to start a company in the clouds.
End scene.
Oh, I wanted to see where that goes.
I would like to just point out the logistical question of how long is the commute for your employees every day?
Depends. Do they have in like
planes?
How many engines do they have? How many turbines?
It's a weird follow-up.
They have... Okay, I'll give them if they have, like, one or two engines, maybe, like, 5 hours.
All right, guys.
They're getting paid minimum minimum wage.
James, you have used your stop.
Okay, well, we only have time for like one more quick one, so we just have to make this quick.
Does it start on me or you?
You, James. You, since you complained about us last time.
About so much. God, I hate you all. Let's see. I've got to pick a good word to start off of. Put your best foot forward, all that. Pandas.
Stop.
Really?
No, that I wasn't saying stop as in stop the title. I'm saying the next word in the title is stop.
Okay.
Pandas stop.
Fighting.
Until.
One.
Two.
Many.
Gets.
Dismembered.
Three.
Stop.
There you go.
Pandas stop fighting until one too many gets dismembered. Three.
So everything. This is the third of pandas stop fighting until one too many gets dismembered.
Exactly. All right, guys. This is
it's a smash.
This is the conclusion
of the epic trilogy.
To the epic trilogy
that everyone has been waiting for. The trilogy of pandas stop.
See, this is actually.
I think that,
I don't even know if I can say it all the way through.
I think this should be the game for every time we get a fan submission.
I'm okay with that.
Yes,
see, we're making our own movies to make submissions for.
This is actually kind of a political thriller where pandas have, you know, they've agreed to stop their fighting, but you know, it's all about the subtext where all the fighting is happening verbally and in their minds and in the courtroom. But they still have the dismemberment policy for the United Nations of pandas whenever they don't like what somebody is saying. So that's the scene.
Well, and what I find funny about that being the third movie in the series is the first two were just lighthearted kids movies.
Starring Jack Black as the warmongering general of the Panda Sioux Nation.
Obviously played by Steven.
obviously played by Michael.
There we go.
And let's see. Scarlett Johansson as his love interest.
You sure about that, Steven?
I was actually thinking about Scarlett Johansson earlier to like say in
starring
this.
Scarlett Johansson, ScarJo, if you will, as his panda lover who is trying to keep him from going to war. And scene.
Listen, babe, will you, why don't you cut the crap?
I don't think you should go. It's not safe.
I think I'll decide what I want to do.
No, you say that every time. Jim said that last time, and look what happened to him. He came back without his legs.
Order in the court.
Yeah!
You're never listening to me. Jack, this is going to be how you die.
Listen, ScarJo, this is nice, but you're one stop away from dismemberment.
I'd die for you, Jack.
Yeah, you will.
Ah, why would you do that to me?
Because you were in Home Alone 3, and that sucked.
She was.
And the scene. More you know.
And scene.
She's the one who said, Mom, Alex slammed the toilet scene down on his thing again.
That's right.
The immortal lines.
Yeah, and then they're like, Scarlett let's make Johansson. Her Black Widow.
I believe that will be her epitaph.
Didn't see any of those.
Of Black of Widows? That's good, because if you see a Black Widow, it's probably going to kill you.
I haven't seen any of the Home Alones. Guys,
look, I later, do not agree.
Later episodes.
I do okay. I do not agree with Steven's opinion that a black woman whose husband has died will probably kill you. I believe that is a very sweeping statement that is kind of racist. Just throwing it
what
out
do you mean,
there.
Kind of, it is.
All right. Well, I just kind of want to wrap things up here for a second.
Wait,
and
who won?
The viewer did.
The listener.
Thank you, Michael Slater.
That's debatable.
No, I really do want to thank everyone who's listened to this podcast. We've been going for 4 months now.
Woo.
Something like that.
Oh my God, we have.
And we all have a blast doing it. I hope you guys have a blast listening to it.
I just...
And
please keep sending in your submissions. Yeah, they please. Really help.
Please email us, fuarock@gmail.com. Tweet us at fuarockpodcast. Join in on the discussion. Watch the movies with us.
Yeah. Let us know your opinions on the things we do, the things that we pick.
And be sure to keep an eye out for, or rather, an ear out for our Shawshank Redemption thing that's coming out in the future.
Which is funny, because when we did that episode in the past, in the future, we didn't know that we were doing Children of Men before it in the future, in the past.
You just blew my goddamn mind.
That was my brain frying.
Yeah. No, I got that.
Anyway, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and Happy New Year to everyone from us at From Under a Rock.
We'll see you in 2014.
We will continue to see you to watch movies in 2014.
We'll pull you out from under that rock next year.
For now? Sorry, Mike, were you going to say something?
No.
For now, let's go around the table for one last roll call.
I'm Jooms McDoodles.
Tomb Jooms.
Tomb Jooms.
Hashtag Tomb Jooms.
We're going to get in a fight this St. Paddy's Day.
St. Paddy's is going to be crazy.
It's going to be so combative.
You talking to Jooms like that?
Who?
You got to deal with all of this.
Who? Wait, what's his name?
I'm just trying to take his order.
I don't want to fight. I am Michael Ornelas.
I'm Steven Zarita.
Wait, hold on. Wait, there was a big reception after James, and I don't get any...
Yeah, Michael.
Oh, team Michael. Ornelas.
It is in my contract.
Our hero, Michael.
The best.
Our salvation.
I didn't hear any of you say Supreme Overlord and Master.
The best Supreme Overlord.
Thank you.
And I'm Ryan Evans. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
From Under A.
Wait.
No, this was really the end.
Oh, it was? Oh, no, we're done. Okay, yeah.
Rock.
Keep
rack,
on rocking.
You got a nice rack.
From
nice
under
rack.
The movie nice starring rack. Ed Harris and Nicolas Cage.
And Sean Connery?
Get and Sean Connery the about the DZ Toxin and Alcatraz.
Alcatraz. Wait, what's that movie called, though?
The Rock.
The Rock.
What about The Rock?
Under The Rock.
He was in he's been in the last few Fast and Furious movies.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
I do.
Smell what The Rock is cooking.
It's a nice pot roast.
Guys, no, seriously.
Because he's good for...
I think that The Rock is really great. It's a fun movie for the whole family with Nicolas Cage, Sean Connery.
And The Rock made a good pot roast.
Guys, James, stop for a second. What are we doing? What are we doing?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Lindsay Lohan's in the news.
Lindsay Lohan's in the news.